Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith-Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. Thank you so much for watching or listening, and make sure that you hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss anything. We usually try to put this out. I say we. It's me.
It's you.
It's not me. I usually try to put out stuff every other week. So if that's something you're interested in, please let us know. And also leave us a review so we can wow, I'm struggling today.
That's okay. Fine.
So I can know what I can do better, including using my words better.
We can nerve.
Yeah, it's fine. Today we're joined by Conrad Nagy.
Hello.
I don't know why I just called you Conrad.
Yeah, no one calls me that.
That's his full name.
That's my legal name.
Yeah, but he goes by Con. We like him. He's our worship director.
Yeah.
How many episodes have you done with us? Us, again.
With you. Maybe one? Yeah. It was in your office, so it was a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so not much.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've come a long way.
I'm here.
Yeah. Well, we thought we'd have Con here because I keep saying we. What's going on?
The collective.
Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to have Con on because, you know, he's not just a guitar player and singer. Oh,
thank you.
You have a brain.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
that's a compliment from him, so.
I usually don't do that with Con. It's usually just a torrent of verbal abuse
mm-hmm.
that he knows I say out of love.
Yeah, it's out of love.
I just don't know how to express myself very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, he's more than just a singer and guitarist. He is a man of God, and he's a Christ follower, and he is also in seminary. And so I just thought, let's have him on the podcast today, because sometimes it's just me musing through scripture. I thought it'd be way more fun to bring Con in to do it.
Yeah.
But first, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're doing. I hear you're in seminary.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I'm in seminary. I'm at North Park. I joined a cohort, and so C6, what's up? Yeah, so I joined.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, C6 cohort.
Sounds like Gen Z lingo.
Yeah. Cohort 6. So I actually joined a cohort out of the Pacific Southwest. And so, yeah, we get to meet once a year in California. And so I'll be going in about a month now in September.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, I know. Such a bummer to get to go there. And so that's super fun. We do that and then we'll do, yeah, it's pretty much like one intensive per semester, one online class for the rest of the semester too. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of doing part-time seminary with that, working here for the rest of it. And it just seems like a really accessible way to do seminary. I know you did it full-time.
Yeah, I was a full-time student. I wasn't working in ministry at the time, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see how times change with technology, and so yeah. It seems, at least this is the only perspective I have, but it seems pretty accessible versus doing seminary full-time. So, yeah I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, it kind of was, but I survived.
Yeah.
So Con is pursuing his education because a lot of people don't see what goes on behind the scenes at a church with the worship director.
Yeah.
It's not just he's just pulling songs out that he likes. There's a lot of intentional thought that goes into what are we trying to lead the audience through? What are we leading the congregation through? How can we help the congregation worship God more?
Yeah.
And so we're really excited to see what his studies will mm-hmm. help bring to the table. And I want to see him preach more. If you want to see him preach more, let us know.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, it's cool. I think
you did once.
I did. It was fun. Yeah, it was really good. I think it's interesting, too, because, yeah, sometimes we just get in a box, and I think we even put ourselves in boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought for sure it was like, I went to North Central in Minneapolis and got a music pastor degree for undergrad, and I was like, I'll just do that and then work at a church and then eventually retire and die. And so it's funny to...
Life plan.
That was the plan. You know, I was already married, so that was checked off. But yeah, it was like, I think I put myself in a box there with education and like with what God could do in my life too. And so it's been cool to see, you know, there's more to my job than just music.
Yep.
And yeah, you can go deeper with wherever you're at. So
sounds good. Well, going deeper is something we're going to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what discipleship is just going through scripture together.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, sometimes this podcast is just me delving into something that I thought was interesting. But today I thought, let's do that with Con, because it's way more fun to go through scripture with another person.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I was struck by some things recently, and I'm not going to say immediately what they were. But in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34. So I'm just going to read this passage, and then we're just going to kind of talk our way through it. We didn't plan this at all. I think sometimes it's more interesting just to kind of capture the raw thoughts of, let's just delve into Scripture together. And so I hope you join us. So pull out a Bible, open up to Matthew 14. Khan's even reading a paper Bible.
A real
Bible. Gen Z worship leader with a paper Bible. Wow.
Yeah, old school.
I'm the one reading it on a screen. So Matthew 14, verses 22 through 34. It's a pretty famous story here. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. So there's a lot going on here. Hmm. What stands out to you?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, there's so much that stands out. I think I was struck by... in my Bible, I've got the NRSV. The section title is Jesus Walks on Water. And I think... I don't want to detract from that, but to me, the part that almost sticks out more is Peter walking on water.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is fully human, fully God. But I think sometimes in my brain, I'm like, like he's God.
Of course he did.
Yeah, like he can do that. And then...
like if he can make the water, he can walk on it.
Right, totally. Yeah. And so, yeah, that part, it's a miracle and it's amazing. But yeah, the invitation to Peter, to me, is just like, whoa, like this guy... like the same human as us, you know, mm-hmm. Not to say God isn't, but it's just, yeah, that part just really sticks out to me. And yeah, it's just a beautiful piece almost. It's like kind of getting emotional just about the faith that it took to follow him in that. And Peter, it always seems like he's the first to speak up with something.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know if you've ever been around those people where it's like someone just needs to say something.
That's
me. Like, yeah. He's like,
comes like, yep, that's you.
Yeah. Like, I don't want silence. Just, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. Like, I wonder what the other disciples thought. Like, oh, like, we're just kind of in the moment. We're just, like, process. Like, I'm a slower processor with that stuff. Where I'm like, I'm just going to sit and see what other people kind of do first. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of wonder what they were thinking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, and, like, Peter, like, yes, it's incredible that Peter did walk on the water briefly, but sometimes he gets a bad rap for sinking eventually. Like, he sees the wind. And then he's like, uh-oh, and he starts to sink. Like, but yeah, he stepped out in faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, like, how many of us have done that, you know?
Yeah.
And yet we kind of go after Peter sometimes and be like, oh, he started to sink because he lost his faith. It's like, well, when did you try to do that?
Yeah. That's like Thomas, too, with the, you know, doubting Thomas. And you're like, Thomas did a lot of good things, too, you know, I would assume. And it's like... We see that one. We're like,
well, we call Thomas. It doubting Thomas, but like everybody else doubted when Mary first showed up. Mary's like, I've seen him. And everybody's like, girl, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Like, that should be the doubting disciples.
Of... yeah. It's all of them. Yeah. Thomas really gets the short stick on that one. But yeah, I mean, Peter, I mean, there's something interesting there in that Peter only starts to sink when he takes his eyes off Jesus, when he starts to look at the wind.
Yeah.
That's when he starts to sink.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't say that his eyes were on Jesus up until that point, but like, when, it's just kind of this idea that when you start to look at the other things beyond God, that's when things start to get difficult.
Yeah.
And that's where faith can start to waver. So yeah, I just kind of feel bad for Peter in this story because like people kind of go after him.
Yeah, even though he had faith. Even if it's little faith, there's still faith involved in that. It made me think of how quick did he sink? Because you know, if you jump into like a lake or a pool, like when your feet hit the water, I don't know what.
You go in immediately.
Yeah, it's quick. And so I've always kind of wondered that with this passage. It says he sunk or began to sink. And it's like, I wonder, was that, it was slow enough for him to say, Lord, save me. But was that just like a, you know.
Or was it like, he's like kind of trying to tread water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like he's probably still wearing his robes or something. Mm. So those are going to be, once those are heavy, they're going to weigh him down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Have you ever jumped into a pool with your clothes on?
I've been baptized. I don't know. That's probably the closest.
Not what I was going for. But like, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Aside from that, probably not.
I remember because I was doing swimming lessons years ago, and we had to do a day where like we jumped into the pool with clothes on so that we could practice like getting like sweatpants off and a shirt off into water as like a survival thing. Mm-hmm. Like, which, thank you, Diane Eng, for doing that. we did swim lessons in our backyard pool.
Mm.
And I didn't see her for like couple of decades until like a weekend or two ago. Like,
did you pass
the swim lessons?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, good.
Well, and then like, sorry, I'm gonna Diane Enfrick is great, but that's not what we're. Her last name's not Anchor anymore either. Anyway, non sequitur. But yeah, so I mean, Peter's in probably heavy robes. That's probably weighing him down. So I'm guessing he's like trying to tread water, like crawl his way back to the surface or something. Yeah. But I also wonder in the story, like, is Jesus like? Is his feet getting wet?
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a good...
Like, is he walking on, like, a level plane and the water's just kind of lapping up over the bottom of his robes? Or, like...
Yeah.
Is he just, like, sliding down the wave?
Yeah, because it's, like, if... It's, you know, it's clearly an aggressive storm. And so I was thinking about that in preparation for this. Of, yeah, like, we're... Like, what did the water feel like? Was it, like, stable? Or was it still moving? And, like, were there... like big waves like ripping by
and like the boat wouldn't have probably been like a huge boat like we sometimes think of like a fishing boat. It probably would have been fairly low to the water. Like I've been to the Galilee and like they have a museum that has a boat that's probably from that era and it's not big at all.
Well, I assume it'd be low to get the nets out of the water.
Exactly. So I mean it's not a high boat. It's like a glorified canoe with a sail basically. Theoretically.
Sure.
But, like, is Jesus, like, going up and down the waves or just, like, walking through them and they just kind of go up to his knees or something? Like, how big are the waves? Are they white caps? Like, they don't have to, like, I think sometimes we think, like, huge, like, hurricane swells, like, we see clips on YouTube of, like, this oil tanker that's just, like, going through these massive 30. That's not what's happening on Galilee.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be that big for it to be dangerous with that small of a boat.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think I was reading some stuff too. What did it say? Oh yeah, early in the morning, verse 25. Early in the morning, he came walking towards him, and so it's clearly after midnight.
Yeah.
You know, and just thinking about maybe the moon was out, but like it would have been dark too, and so there would have been a lot to think about to kind of almost put ourselves in that place of it would have been dark, it would have been stressful. This is funny, not funny, but my brother and I borrowed jet skis from a friend once. Spoiler alert, I broke one of the jet skis. And it was really rough. Like, they lived in, like, this little, kind of like a cove on this lake. And we're like, it's, like, a little windy, but we can, like, we'll go out and try it. And long story short, the front of the jet ski, you know, some of them have, like, that hatch in the front. That was getting filled with water. And so every time I'd hit the throttle, the nose would just... dive under.
Oh.
And it was interesting, like, not that big of a deal. It was like daytime. We were in like a pretty populated place. I was so stressed out. And like just that was probably like one of the most stressed out moments of my life, like top five. And it's interesting, like we weren't gonna die. We had life jackets. Like, my brother was on a different jet ski. Like, there was no risk to our lives. Yeah. But it was so stressful. And yeah, so I was kind of thinking about this as I read this, like, man, like, if you've ever been on a boat or in troubled waters, like, it's a stressful time.
Yeah.
It's just
not a natural environment to be on.
Yeah.
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 We're not meant to be out on water.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not meant to be on water, but, like, you know, God gave its capacity to swim and build boats and whatever.
Sure.
But, like, it's not our natural mm-hmm. space.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to, like, if you're in your house and it's storming, in most cases, you're like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. Unless it's, like, a tornado or something really severe, it's just, like, whatever. We'll just watch the storm. But, yeah, when you're out on the water, it's a little different.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just that moment of they saw him walking on sea, and they were terrified.
Yeah. Like, it's not surprising that they would think a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what would you think in that moment?
Well, and, like, that's a very different time period, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
interesting.
Knowing more about science, we're like, oh, ghosts aren't real, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, they didn't have that kind of background. And so that was much more steeped in the cultures around that there was maybe paranormal or supernatural things. So it makes a lot more sense that they would think, oh, ghost, this is scary.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah. Oh, that's a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of. Yeah.
See, this is what happens when you get together and discuss scripture. You find things that you haven't thought of.
Yeah.
Another thing that struck me recently when I was reading this is verse 28, where Jesus is on his way out. Jesus says, take courage, don't be afraid. And then Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. I've never paid attention to that. I always just glazed over that and just kind of in my head, it was just Peter sees Jesus coming and gets excited and gets out. But when I read this recently, I was like, Peter asks Jesus for permission to do the impossible. What a faithful question. I really think we don't give Peter enough credit for in this story because, like, he starts sinking at the end. But, like, he faithfully asks Jesus if he himself can do something impossible. He sees Jesus doing the impossible. They saw Jesus do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you mentioned earlier, like, right before this, Jesus kind of fed thousands of people. And, like, the disciples didn't do that. Jesus kind of encouraged them. He's like, hey, feed the people. And they're like, here's like two loaves of bread. Yeah. Do something with the bread. And Jesus does it. Here, Peter's saying, I want to do it too. I see you doing it. And I think there's something possible here. But then he asks, do I have your permission? If this is your will, I mean, what does he say? If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And so he's asking permission to do the impossible.
Yeah,
I just thought there was something so beautiful in that. I'm like, when have I ever done that? When have I ever asked God permission to do something impossible?
That's really good. Yeah. When I think there's so much encouragement in Peter's story, too, of like Peter's the rock that the church would be built on. And he had little faith. But he had faith enough to ask that question. And I think my own interpretation of the story before rereading it recently was, I don't know why I always just kind of skipped over it too and thought, you know, they see Jesus and then I always remembered Jesus calling Peter out, like join me, you know, and I guess in a way, but Peter does ask, like he kind of initiates that of like, can I do this?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting too, because if you never ask, you won't know, or if you don't have that faith, you won't know, because he didn't need to ask. He could have just waited. And yeah, maybe Jesus would have called someone out, or maybe he would have just came to them. But he took that step of faith, like a step in asking if it is you, command, my version says, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And then, like, what did it look like when Jesus reached out and caught him? Did you just, like, pull him back up and just, like, hold him up like this until they, like, drop him in the boat?
Yeah. That makes me
think. What was that?
Our dogs have little life jackets that we'll put on them sometimes if we're going out in the boat and, you know, if we're in, like, deeper water.
Little life, your dogs are enormous. Yeah, your dogs are small ponies.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they're around 50, 60 pounds. Yeah, so they have life jackets, but it's funny, the back has a little handle.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can grab them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I wonder if it was kind of like when you grab a kid by, like, the shirt or something, like, if it was like that or if it was more dignified.
I don't think Peter is too worried about dignified in that moment. Just get me out of here. I'm sinking. Help.
Yeah. Yeah. Save me. That's.
And he did.
Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting in verse 30. He noticed a strong wind. He became frightened. And then he began to sink. And yeah, I think in our lives, that's so easy. This made me think of this. I've been trying to pray the Lord's Prayer as like the last thing I do before I go to bed. And this is actually funny. Like, it was probably a week ago. I was like, I would get through a couple lines and then my brain would go off on something else. And then I felt convicted. I'm like, all right, I want to start over. because I don't want to just like piece this together.
Right.
And it happened. I think partially I was probably just really tired, but then it kind of became like a challenge where I was like, I've screwed this up like 5 times now.
Yeah.
And like, I need to do this. And it's so interesting. Like we're just so prone to wander sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, and I notice that sometimes.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
I feel it. Yeah, I totally feel it.
I can quote lyrics too.
Yeah, that's hey. Good. That's good. Yeah, it wasn't even me this time. But yeah, I think it's so easy. And even like, yeah, I think for me in prayer, sometimes that's just, it almost feels so casual talking to God. And then I'll just slip off somewhere. And then it's like, oh crap, like I'm praying right now. Like I need to like recenter myself and yeah, kind of look to Jesus. And thankfully, you know, I'm not falling into a lake.
But are you?
I hope not.
Are you?
I hope not.
Are you sinking, Con?
I really hope not. I think I'm doing okay.
You're passing your seminary classes?
Yeah. Yeah. Doing good.
He can read.
It's a big deal.
I can read. Some like, you're 12 years younger than me. So sometimes I feel like he's just 12 years old, even though he's just 12 years younger.
Yeah. I act like it sometimes. So.
I do too. Probably more often than you do.
Maybe.
Yeah. Where were we at?
Oh, we're talking about sinking, getting distracted.
Yes, and you were talking about the Lord's fits.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, in verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And so the wind was still, you know, there was still a lot of things happening before they got into the boat. And then immediately the response in verse 33 is they worshiped him. And I think that's just such a beautiful response. And, you know, I have to say that because I'm the worship person. But it's just our worship is such a great response to the good things and the bad things. You know, Peter could have looked at that as, oh, like my faith like lapsed, like that was a failure. You know, I shouldn't have even blah, blah, blah. But it's like wherever he felt in that moment, or, you know, I just walked on water like with Jesus. Like, that's crazy. That's such a great thing, too. But like worship should be the response to that. In no matter where we're at, and just an encouragement too of, you know, no matter where you're at, worship isn't just a Sunday morning activity, you know, during the service at church or wherever you attend. It's a, you know, it's a lifestyle too. And you know, if we're not filling our cups,
what is worship? Because like
that's a good point.
You know, here it says they worshiped him. What does that mean? Does it mean they started singing a song? What does, I mean, obviously, we don't know what worship was in this context. It doesn't tell us that per se, but like, what could it have been?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, ascribing worth to Jesus. I mean, you know, they could have bowed down. They could have affirmed his messianic identity. You know, there's so many different things there. It doesn't say. But yeah, I think in this way, probably an affirmation. They worship him saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And yeah, you talked about earlier with the feeding of the 5,000, like there's Jesus had this messianic expectation to some people. And I would assume the disciples, you know, they left everything to follow him. And so they were bought in that he was the Messiah. But yeah, it's interesting. Jesus has these little moments where he reveals a little bit of that. And then sometimes I don't know if hide would be the right word, but he'll kind of tuck away certain things because he knows it's not the time. And so I think that's a really interesting part of the gospel story.
Yeah. I also kind of wonder with when he gets in the boat and the wind stops, I wonder if any of them were like, you couldn't have done that sooner.
Like, yeah, it's like after midnight. Yeah, I read something online that said it was something about the fourth watch of the night. So it would have been anywhere from like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah, so it's like they'd been out there for some time. Yeah, yeah. Just like, thank you, but
you couldn't have done this sooner.
Yeah. I feel like Jesus likes us to have a little tension sometimes of like, I wanted you to see how you did it, and then I'll help you.
I want to see you depend on me first, and then we'll do something.
Yeah, that makes me think of, I'm telling a lot of little stories, but I remember I was visiting, my wife went to college in southern Minnesota in Winona, and I remember I was visiting her one day, and I was going back home, it was in the winter, and I'm driving back home, and it was so funny, like, it was kind of windy and, you know, it's like farmland down there. So it's like the wind was just whipping and there's some snow on the ground. And I was like, I remember I literally said to myself, I am in control, to kind of like hype myself up. Like, it's not that bad. And I remember immediately I said that in my car. I didn't spin out, thankfully. But yeah, the back flew, and I was like, oh, no.
And then I'm not in control.
Yeah, I kind of came back, and immediately I was like, I am not in control. I shouldn't have said that. And I think about that story a lot, actually, because it's, I just think it's a great example of, you know, our culture so much is like, you know, you're the boss. Like, you step into your brilliance. Not that that's wrong. I think it can be wrong. But, you know, step into that, be the man, be the woman, whatever, whatever. And it's like, sure, but we need to recognize that we're not in control.
Right.
You know, and it's a lot easier to not be in control.
Yeah.
It's a freeing act. It's a lot less responsibility. Yeah. Like, hey, I can't fix everything right now.
I can't do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd rather let someone else be in control. Well, I say that, but then there's times when I want to be in control. But, that's like, better. I mean, there is a free, like you said, there's a freedom in saying, this is outside my ability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do what I can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to recognize that what I can do is not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to get to. Mm-hmm. But once you get there, it's very freeing.
Yeah. I think that fits in work life, marriage for some, friendships, mm-hmm. you know. Trying to fix stuff that you can't fix. Like there is a lot of freedom in that of just like, hey, I can still, you know, I can still try to be a good worker. Or I can try to be a good husband, but knowing I'm not going to be able to do all these things. And yeah, there's definitely a freedom to that.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts about this passage? I mean, we were kind of saying this before, like, how do we want to go through this? We just want to have a free flowing conversation of what we notice. And that's what we've done. Any other things that you notice that you want to bring up before we,
I will say one thing. I thought it was so good because when I was prepping for this, I just read through verse 33, and I skipped 34 through 36 where Jesus.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, and then I accidentally.
No, I didn't think you were either. But I'm so glad you did because it's only three verses. But you know, he feeds the 5,000. This happens. This is more of like an isolated thing. You know, this is kind of just the disciples and Jesus, and then they land, and all the sick from this region were brought to him, and they knew, you know, they knew that he was doing something. And so they just wanted to verse 36, they begged him that they might even touch the fringe of his cloak, mm-hmm. and all who touched it were healed. And I was just thinking about that relationship of sometimes, you know, like the bleeding woman, mm-hmm. like she had the faith to just touch his robe. And some people thought that was wrong, 'cause she was unclean. But that took faith. And then I think also in this story, Peter also had faith to ask Jesus to step out of the water. Mm-hmm. And so there's two very different stories of, you know, a woman who was, I would assume, very scared to do something like that. And then someone who is in some ways probably scared, but had some confidence to step into that situation too. But the common denominator would be faith.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to end.
Mm.
So thanks for joining us. We'll have to do this again.
Yeah, yeah,
he's fun. Got a seminary education in the works, so he's now worthy of being on the podcast. No, okay. He was worthy before then. It's fine.
The first one was awkward. I was kind of clunky. So yeah.
Well, thank you so much for watching and for listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Yep. See ya.